Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, December 20th, and we're back the week before Christmas. And I'm joined this morning by the beautiful Leah Pelka.
Hi.
Two days in a row, Leah. You were here yesterday. Did you forget?
No, I did not forget.
Oh, okay. So you're agreeing with me.
I was saying two in a row today, and then maybe three tomorrow. Who knows?
There you go. You know, you never know. But we love Leah on the show. Yesterday, we had a lot of fun here with Tori.
We did.
Right? It was a very funny show, and you guys should catch it. That was the December 19th show, and you can catch that. It was pretty much fun. But if you didn't get a chance to listen, you'll see Leah is a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're going to have another good show today, huh?
Yes. Right. So let's quickly introduce you. You're a Southern Belle.
I am.
You moved to L.A. how long ago?
About 3 years ago.
And you love it here?
I do.
That's where you belong?
I do. It's like my people are here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Like, kind of, yeah.
Yeah. And what do you dabble in? Modeling, things like that?
Yeah. I mean,
awesome.
Yeah.
You're in a lot of different things.
I know. That's the thing. It's like a little bit of entrepreneur modeling. It's been a lot going on.
That's awesome.
I've been quiet more lately just because I've been doing a lot more.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, so you guys can follow Leah. Do you want to tell people how they can follow you and stuff?
It's at Leah Pelka everywhere.
Pelka is P-E-L-K-A, right?
It is.
Yeah. So, well, cool. We have a great guest. We're going to be joined by her in a few minutes. I wanted to go over the, I guess they announced the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees. Have you heard that before?
I haven't heard of it. Well, I mean, okay. I haven't heard who they are this time.
Right. Well, this time they are Joan Baez, Electric Light Orchestra, Journey, Pearl Jam, Tupac Shakur, and Yes. I would say I agree with all of them.
I would too. I was just saying. I was like, I hardcore agree with all of those things.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're saying that there's a lot that didn't get it, which is amazing. Which ones did not get it? I don't know. There were, I guess, 19 nominees.
Oh, but I mean, Pearl Jam for sure. I mean, like I don't know who the nominees were, so I can't say that I agree or disagree with that section, but
right.
I definitely agree with all those choices.
Yeah, those are great choices. People that have made a lot of a great mark on our music, you know.
Oh, for sure.
So that's amazing. Do you have any big plans for Christmas or anything? Are you going out of town?
Home.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm coming back.
How cool is that?
I always come back home for the holidays.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Is it cold back home for you?
It's cold everywhere right now. I think
that's
everywhere
true, right?
Has like record-breaking coldness right now. I have no idea what's going on, but I'm like, I am not looking forward to going back to that because like, I'm already like bitter here. I'm like, why is it so cold? I have no idea, but like I saw snow on one of my friend's Snapchats the other day. I was like, oh, no. That's not... That's what we talked about. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. No, for you back home, did you grow up with snow? I mean, was it...
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, it wasn't every
place?
Year super consistent, but there were times like that. We had to shut things down because it snowed so much, and it was so much fun then.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had one time back in like 1991 where it was you had to shut everything down for like a week. So I remember that.
Yeah.
Really clearly, yeah.
The most winter we're going to get here is some rain, and they are saying we'll probably get rain Saturday. So that'll be a nice Christmas. At least it'll rain a little bit. We'll
yeah,
feel.
That's true.
Weather.
Well, I think the mountains will get snow, right? If it rains here.
If it rains, yeah.
That's
and then
nice.
We can go, yeah. If it's cold enough, I guess. But it has been freezing here, and as it has been in the rest of the nation, but it's funny that we complain at 50 degrees. You know?
I know, we're all suddenly dying. We're like, oh, no, we have to get like more than like a light jacket out? I don't understand. No.
You know, but that's the thing. We don't really dress up for this cold. That's why we're cold, you know? I mean, if we had clothes like they have back east.
It's true. We don't
right?
have like those heavy jackets. This never happens.
Exactly.
Like, we're like, oh,
I mean,
no.
I go to a store. I see a nice thick sweater. I'm like, yeah, I'd love to have it. But you know what? It's too warm to wear
it.
Here.
Yeah, I'll never use it.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then like we're still kind of holding out like it's not going to stay this cold. It's not going to stay this cold. Do you know what I mean?
I know.
Still not going to get anything.
I know. So we'll see. Maybe we'll get at least a bit more rain this season because we need it. We really need it, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know where we're going to get all of our water, but Did you ever think when you take a shower how much water you're really going through? You know, even if you're not wasting the water, just the length of taking a shower, that's a lot of water, you know,
no,
that goes. And, well, you know, and I mean, we have millions of people doing the same thing.
I know.
You know, where does all this water come from?
No, I do. I think about the same thing with trash, too. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I always think about those things.
Where does it go, right?
Yeah, back home we had this huge lake, and I was taking my kids down to it back when I was home in October.
Mm-hmm.
And when I took them, the lake was dried up, and that was the first time I've ever seen that happen back home.
Really?
Yeah, so wow. I'm seeing that happen back home now.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that's never happened before.
No, no.
And then, like, Tennessee caught on fire recently.
Yeah.
In Gatlinburg. And, and that's usually really wet right now, too, and snowy and stuff like that. So I'm like, wait a minute, hold on.
Yeah, things are changing,
crazy.
Huh?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I know. Oh, well, what are you going to do, folks? We're not going to fix the problems of the world today. Not even tomorrow. Yeah.
Stay tuned tomorrow. We'll handle all that.
I know. So just a quick thing. For those of you who don't know, there was, I guess, a killing in Germany with a truck ran into a crowd of people.
In
I haven't
France?
Even... In Germany.
But like France, what happened in was it Nice, I think?
Oh, remember? Yeah, there was a time there at the Riviera or something, right?
Yeah.
In France, too. But yeah, that's right. So this is sort of reminiscent to that. A truck plowed into a Berlin Christmas market. And the guy they captured is probably not the driver, they're saying. So, yeah, why? I don't know. You know, 12 people dead, 48 injured, you know?
That's
yeah,
crazy.
Hold on a second. Yeah. But at any rate, pretty scary stuff, you know? A lot of terror. And this is after the Russian ambassador was assassinated in Turkey.
Know.
You know, I don't know, man. This is starting to get scary, you know? When you start getting nations killing each other and shit like this. I mean, this is major stuff.
No, no, you're right. But, you know, I feel like at the same time, like, this is the most peaceful time in history that we've had. Like, think about all the crazy things.
That is true, right?
So, like, as a civilization, we are growing as people and we are evolving. And it's just so slowly with humanity. But it's, you know what I mean? Like, we used to be chopping off people's heads. And
that's true, you know,
like,
but...
jousting and just, like, just letting people be slaughtered, you know what I mean? So
right.
We're getting better with it. But it
no,
like,
that's true. But I think the reason we don't have really major wars now is because there's a balance of power in the world, you know?
Right.
And usually when there isn't, there's war.
Well, it seems like, you know, people are starting to hold each other more accountable for things.
Yeah.
It's like, and having each other's back, and people don't want to upset somebody else. You know what I mean? So at the same time, it seems like there's a system now. You know what I mean? Like, we can all communicate with each other, whereas before you couldn't.
That's true. And the world is a lot smaller with the internet and everything. So, yeah,
so things
have changed, you know? Yeah. Oh, well, like I said, we're not going to solve the problems of the world. However, we have a great guest for you today, Leah. We're joined by actress Meredith Thomas. Welcome to the show, Meredith.
Thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you for coming in. And it turned out that we've actually known each other or met each other before, but I didn't remember because my memory is that of Dory from, you know, I only remember about 5 minutes in the past. So don't blame me for that, okay?
No, no. I've been to the station, but I don't know that we actually got to meet.
I was supposed to. I should have. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
But that's okay. So, thank you for coming in. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
Are you an LA native?
Oh, goodness, no.
No?
I don't say, well, I don't, no insult to LA natives, but I kind of an eclectic past. My parents taught Native Americans, so I lived above the Arctic Circle in a village in Alaska for 7 years.
Wow.
Yes. So talking about cold, oh, no, this is not cold. I finally put on a coat yesterday. My friends were like, do you own a coat? It's cold.
Wow.
And I was like, this is not cold. 40 below with the wind chill factor is cold.
Wow.
So I lived in this village for 7 years, and then I lived in New Hampshire. So also very cold, but at least there was some warm at times.
But that's interesting where you grew up. Mm-hmm. Where is that now again?
It's actually above the Arctic Circle is called Point Barrow, Alaska.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
How did you guys end up there?
Well, my parents both were teachers, and when they got out of college, they had this crazy idea that they would like to work for... At the time, it was called the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Now it's called the Bureau of Native Affairs. And they said, well, let's teach. Let's get a teaching job with the Bureau of Native Affairs. And I had always thought it was my dad's idea because he... seemed to thrive in Alaska, hunting and fishing, and but it turns out it was my mom's idea to
really?
Go to Alaska.
Whoa!
They could have gotten, you know, gone to New Mexico or somewhere where they were on a nice warm reservation, but no, they went above the Arctic Circle. And my dad was a teaching principal, and my mom taught pretty much primarily fourth grade up there.
So you had a very unique childhood,
very
growing
unique.
Up there.
I'm so grateful that I had such a unique childhood.
Yeah. Now, how large was the community that you lived in?
Oh my goodness, it's been so many years since I've lived there, but it's very small.
Really?
At the time that we lived up there, there was one grocery store. When my parents first went up, the children were flown by a commuter plane to another village for high school. So they would spend the week going to high school in another village, and they were flown back. And that only changed after that commuter plane actually crashed, and I believe a couple of students lost their lives. So then... a high school was built, but it's changed so much in the last few years. There's actually a great documentary about the football team up there.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, so it's and if you remember in the 80s when the Whales got it's around 86, I believe, the Whales got caught under because of ice shifting, which is actually a natural occurrence. It does happen very often, but these whales were actually discovered, and so there was this whole media blitz on it because Russia and America worked together to free these whales from under the blocked under the ice.
Wow.
So it's been in the news for interesting reasons,
right? So and it's very interesting living up there up north, right? Because the day and night are so weird. So did you ever see the movie Leah, the movie Insomnia with Al Pacino, right?
And wasn't Robin Williams in that?
Was he? He may have been in it too.
I think that was one of Robin Williams' last films, I believe.
I don't know about that. Maybe.
I might be thinking of another movie.
Yeah, I'm thinking of another movie. But this one, they were up. Al Pacino went up north to investigate a murder in Alaska. Mm-hmm. And they're showing you how the daytime is like, there's only like 2 hours a night, for example, at some points in the year. So it's like he couldn't sleep. You know, and that's why they call it insomnia. But it shows you how people really deal with daylight all day and then nighttime all day. You know?
Yeah.
So did you experience some of that, or were you not up north?
No, we were. Far? Yeah, no, I was that. There was 24 hours of darkness in the winter.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, man, can you imagine that, Leah?
No,
Whoa.
I mean, there's no way I can imagine. But I've seen, like, so many movies and so many, like, the most haunted places or scariest places, and all of them have Alaska on there somewhere. You know what I mean?
Right?
Like, it's always something crazy about Alaska because I think that does play a huge factor into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The seasonal depression that sets in is definitely real. When you don't have, when you're not getting the sunlight, you're not getting the vitamin D. You definitely, you can hear, I used to hear it in my dad's voice when I would call after we moved down to the lower 48. And I would hear it just how you feel when you don't get sunlight is the extremes. I didn't feel it so much because that was the norm to me. My parents did have to put like black tarps over the window, so in the summer we would sleep.
Right.
Because it's daylight all the time.
Right.
So to be able to adjust your body, I can remember the last time I was up there, you know, 3 a.m. going out and playing with the dog in the summer because it was daylight outside.
Right. Weird.
But the alcoholism in this village too is extreme. It's a dry village because you understand cabin fever when when it's dark and cold for much of the year.
Right. You see, I could deal with 24-hour daylight, not darkness though.
Me too. I'd be really happy for 24-hour daylight. Although I would have to force myself to sleep.
Yeah. Cool. So you grew up there. Do you have any siblings?
I do. I have a younger brother.
Right.
He feels far more connected, I think, to Alaska than I do, because he ended up going back, living up there, and still goes up pretty frequently. The cold and the darkness, I haven't been back since I was in junior high. My brother, like I said, goes back all the time.
Whoa.
He feels very connected to the village, hunting and fishing, and he ended up actually he started his own health food line, and it's called Hunter Gatherer. And I'm like, well, he was a hunter gatherer from day one.
Yeah. Right? Wow. Yeah. And so you obviously, I mean, it's probably not a big question to ask, why did you move? Because obviously it was very small and confining probably for you eventually, right? So what made you decide to move really? Did you move directly to L.A., straight to L.A.?
No. My parents split up, and we ended up back where my mom was raised, in New Hampshire.
I see.
So then I spent the remainder of my childhood in New Hampshire, and then, of course, just had big stars in my eyes and ended up in... after a year of college in New Hampshire, I was like, I'm going to LA. Never been, knew nothing. Wow. other than what I'd seen on TV.
Really?
And nothing, and just came.
Yeah. So you went to school in New Hampshire too?
1 year at University of New Hampshire I came out here.
Cool. And then you decided to help with this. I'm moving to LA. Yeah, this is baloney. I don't need all this. You know, let me move where the stars are.
I had total blind faith. Got on a plane. Forgot to pack my... I didn't pack socks or underwear. I was so excited to come to LA.
No, that's true.
Now, where was your head at the time? I mean, what were you thinking of doing in LA when you moved? Or before that, what were you doing? I mean, you went to school and everything, but did you have a certain direction you wanted to go?
I don't remember a time when I didn't think I was going to be a singer or an actor. I remember in elementary school deciding.
Really?
That's what you wanted to do?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Entertainer.
And I was doing summer stock and professional theater. My first professional show was before I'd even went into sixth grade. I did Annie at a professional summer stock theater. And now, and I just always knew.
Yeah.
Always knew.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Leah, have you ever considered acting? Have you ever done any?
No.
No, huh?
I know. But it's not that I don't appreciate it, because I do. But
right.
I feel like it would be emotionally exhausting. I feel like you really have to go there and do all that. And I'm like...
You really do, right?
It's like I watch those things where people have to cry. And I'm like, I don't think I could. I would get such a headache. I would be so annoyed at that. You know what I mean? So it's like I can appreciate it, but I just know I'm not built for that.
Yeah, that's true. You know, you have to be somebody else, you know. And I'm like... I don't know how to be anybody else, you know?
Right.
I only know how to be me.
Right.
So that's why, you know, actors do have to work hard and everything. So you felt early on you wanted to be in entertainment, really. That's where you belong, right?
Yeah, I knew that I did.
So you moved to LA right after that. You didn't know anybody here?
No.
Really?
It wasn't as daring as it sounds. It was still daring. I was like, I mean, it was...
Because you hadn't been here before.
Yeah, and it was it was the early 90s in LA. Like, I didn't have a cell phone, and I didn't have GPS to get me around. I had the Thomas guide. Do you remember the Thomas guide?
Of course.
Yeah.
It was before
GPS. To a book to figure out where you were going in LA.
Well, no, you could get them at gas stations and stuff, right? Because I know my dad had one for a couple different areas around the South.
Probably, yeah. It was like a thick book with street maps,
right?
And it was a thick book because LA is huge, and you had to go by page and find where you're going and put the pages together and stuff sometimes, which is crazy.
And sometimes a popular page would be missing from my book because you had to actually think, and so I'm very grateful. I can find my way anywhere in this city because I had to GPS. My friends will take forever to get somewhere, and I'll say, why did you do that? How did I get from the Valley to Hollywood faster than you got from Hollywood to Hollywood? Oh, well, I took Sunset. I was like, why would you ever do that?
Yeah,
well, my
right.
GPS told me to. For goodness sake. You know, no, do not do that.
That's funny, right?
No, do not do that.
That's LA traffic for you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's funny. So, okay, so you moved here in the 90s and everything. LA was different then. It wasn't as crowded as it is.
Well, it was. I thought it was a little smoggier. I think it was a little more dangerous. Like, you know, it was. There were places in the city that
you couldn't go, huh?
I remember getting off a freeway one time and not knowing where I was, and it was nighttime, and getting out of my car and walking up to the gas station attendant and saying, how do I get to the 10? And he looked me in the eye and he said, you get back in your car and you drive.
Wow.
Like, yeah. He was basically warning me, like, what on earth are you
doing outside
here
your
car? I was, you know, like, young woman. I was 20. I looked 14, you know, and, yeah. like, driving around just completely like I'm in LA, yay.
It's fine. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And nothing bad ever happened, you know, because I was just like, just did my thing and believed I was supposed to be here. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. So you come here and what, I mean, it seems kind of hard when you don't know anybody mm-hmm. and stuff, and you go to a new place too. When you moved here, Leah, had you been here before that?
I lived here the first time. I lived in Orange County, and then I came to LA. I went back home when my father was re-diagnosed with cancer, and then I came back close to before he passed.
Mm.
So it's like I had been here before, but I also only went home just for that situation, just to be able to be close to him before he passed.
Yeah.
And then came back just because that's what I wanted to do.
But did you move here? Did you know anybody when you moved here?
No.
No, huh?
No, I mean, like,
so
I
it's pretty
like
brave, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty brave to move here not knowing anybody, you know?
Yeah, and it was before the Facebook days that I, you know, like, I actually connected with people because my aunt said, oh, here, call this woman I went to college with. Like, a lot of my first associations and some of the amazing things that happened early on in my career were because back then you weren't like, oh, I'm moving to LA. Let me find all the people I know on Facebook. It was, here's a woman I went to college with. You should call her. I think she works in the industry. We sat down. We had lunch. I ended up being a nanny for 4.5 years for her best friends' children and pursuing my career while I helped. And they were actors. So if I hadn't have put myself out there in that way, I would have never made that connection.
That's true.
But that's what people did. I mean, I feel like I'm talking about like it was the turn of the last century. It actually was.
I actually totally understand what you're talking about, because recently I know that, like, you're talking about GPS and everything else. And I had that, and I had a cell phone growing up. But we didn't really have the internet like that. Like, I know that 4-year-olds now can open apps and have cell phones. And, like, we didn't have, you know, we had to go outside and play still. I was talking to my friends about that recently. So on a different level, I was saying the same thing.
Right.
And we were like, what are kids who are growing up now?
Right.
18-year-olds are going to be, like, in the 2000s soon.
Yeah.
What? I mean, you know what I mean? Lord. Like, what?
Yeah. You know, it's like everybody with screens now, you know. And from, you know, and that's the thing. We've become a different kind of society, a different kind of culture. So when you're talking about the 90s, yeah, it was a different time, especially mm-hmm. in the early 90s before the internet came out completely.
Right.
You know, it was when you think about it now, it was like the Stone Age for us, you know. Just think how much has happened in like 20 years, you know.
So I was talking to a friend the other day about like the first time people did email, and I was like, what on earth? Like, why would I email when I could just walk over and tell them?
Right.
Like, I do not understand why we would email.
What is the purpose of this email?
Yeah, this is so silly. I'm just going to walk over to his desk and say, hey, you know, here's your appointment. Like, it was just, right. I couldn't comprehend. And then now, you know,
it's
checking our phone every 2 seconds for emails. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous and it's amazing. It's both, you know.
It is, you know.
Steve Jobs changed everything. Like, he literally did with the iPhone, because I mean, like, that's the first one that was just so capable to do all these apps and everything.
It's amazing. I mean, to put a computer in your hand, you know,
literally changed the world.
I agree with you. And and that's the thing, computers have gotten so small. I remember in the early 90s I had a computer animation company, and you can imagine how important it is to have a fast computer that moves video in real time. Nothing like this existed. There was no hardware to play video in real time.
Right.
So we had to do everything frame by frame. Can you imagine? Mm. I had animation to put up on tape, and the computer would do it frame at a time, which was like, my God, man, you know. today you have full resolution, high definition video in your hand. You know, and it's so crisp and everything. And you go, how have we come to this in like 20, 25 years? It amazes me. Mm-hmm. You know?
Can you imagine we're going to be in 20, 25 more?
That's what I'm saying, you know?
Right.
It's like, I don't know if I want to be around, you know?
Well, yeah. Don't, careful. Don't say that. Yeah. You want to be around.
I do, I do. But you know what? Did you ever see the movie Minority Report with Tom Cruise? You should see that one. It's a futuristic movie. Uh-huh. And it shows you how people live. It's like we have, it's like in the near future, but still, you know how everything, now the computers know everything about us and stuff, you know?
Right.
You come, you go on Facebook, you find something advertised to you from Amazon, mm-hmm. and the same item you were looking at. I mean, that is scary shit, you know?
Yeah, it's going to get scarier. And it's scarier than we realize, actually.
That's what I'm saying.
I just
So in the movie, he's walking in the mall, for example, and the ads are... personalized for him. Now imagine, you know, on the billboards, what he sees is only what he needs to see, and this is because he's got it reads his eyes and everything, his eye print. So think about that. I mean, that's definitely
it's
gonna
coming.
Happen.
It's coming. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I just watched the Edward Snowden documentary, and that
really
is,
how was it?
It kind of gives you nightmares.
Really?
Yeah, it's very good. It's very well done. But
the one on Netflix.
But the actual documentary is the one. Citizen 4, and it was wow. It gives you nightmares about.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, to a certain degree, I guess maybe because I'm an actor, I'm like, okay, well, you know, I expect people to know everything about me to a certain degree, but it's still chilling to know how much the government and how much people really know about you.
Yeah, that's
it's true.
That's true.
Once it's on the internet, it's there forever.
You know?
Oh, my goodness.
And think of Facebook and all these social media, how much they know about us, you know, more than we do. You know, they recognize faces in our pictures.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
Facebook, they see everything. Knows our friends, you knows know. Who your mother is.
Yeah, they know our political views, everything that we say, they have it all. So that's what I'm saying. There is no privacy anymore.
But why do you think they would collect that data?
They collect it because they just can.
I think they collect it so they can target market.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, of course.
That's what all of our club cards are about.
Right, but do you think it gives them a lot of power, though?
Well,
I don't think what power do I have if I know that you like Coke or Pepsi better? Like, moha, you know what I mean? Like,
it's being collected in case we behave badly in the future.
Exactly. If we behave badly in the future, the government takes over that stuff, and you're like, wow.
I'm not a deviant, but I'm still afraid to Google certain things.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah, well, you need privacy when you browse then. That's another thing I've read that, 20-25%? No, actually something higher than that of people browse with their privacy on their browser. And you go, what are people having to hide? You know, I mean, I can understand if you're using somebody else's computer. But why would you? Because I'll tell you why I don't use the privacy setting. Because then everything's personalized for me. I don't have to remember passwords. I don't have to remember what I had in my shopping cart and all that stuff. Because then it happens, you know. So I don't know. It's a totally different time. And people have to understand, like my Facebook profile, I made it private for the first time, only for my friends, because I realized, hey, Facebook is not the same place it was 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. It really isn't.
Yeah, yeah.
But back to Meredith. For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Meredith Thomas. She's an actress, and we're going to get to the movie in a minute, too, but we're going to talk a lot about your career and all that, but we're just trying to establish a little bit about you and stuff, and make sure that everybody knows everything about you, so now when they go back to the show, it'll be complete.
Yes. I don't know if we'll get to it before we end the show. Not everything.
Okay, good, good. So, going back to you, let's see where we left off. Okay, so you moved here and everything. Now, how did you get started? Did you have to get an agent?
Yeah, well, I actually, I transferred. So I was at the University of New Hampshire, and then I came out here and I studied for 2 years at a conservatory at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. So I did have that bit of a safety net for what it was. I mean, it wasn't real college life,
right,
in the sense that I left this you know, idyllic university in New Hampshire, and then I came to LA, and I'm studying acting at like a broken down elementary school that had a very fancy name, and you know, like so, and had very fancy alumni. But so I studied for two years, and that kind of at least I was able to have meet my friends through the American Academy, and then I just leapt and had some really amazing people who I mentioned before. I, through a friend of my aunt's, met this couple who were older than I was and had been acting for many years and nannied their children. And so I had that safety net. They became kind of like my second parents in that, and they knew this business and they really helped me. But again, it was a different business, not to go back to the good old days of the 90s, but it was a totally different business. You know, you didn't click and submit. I stuffed my headshot into an envelope and I found, you know, I got referrals, and I couldn't go to IMDb and find an agent and see who they represented. You had to work a little harder. But I just, you know, for lack of a better cliche, pounded the pavement.
Yeah, and did the footwork and stuff,
and
you know?
Worked my butt off. And
that's how you do it, right? Mm-hmm, I mean, you know, many people come into town and they think, okay, I'm an actor, I'm an actress, I went to school, whatever, and it's the worst going to happen. Right?
I mean, no, I was I'm wicked hot. I'm the best looking girl back home, and I was great in Greece. Somebody give me a job.
Exactly.
That's like, no,
the school players.
Yeah, I was the, you know, somebody just give me a job. my everyone in my small town thinks I'm very talented. I'm here.
Yeah, that's
not how it works. You don't sit at Schwab's drugstore and get discovered. You've got to come here and work your tail off.
Yeah, you know, and then people come here and they're like, you know, coming from little towns and stuff, and we see this all the time here, and everybody feels like, I'm a 10. I'm moving to LA, you know. And then they come here and they see there's a million 10s here.
Yeah.
You know? Everybody does the same thing, right?
It's a 10 plus.
So you come to LA and everybody's beautiful and everything, you know. So that's pretty cool. But anyway, so I mean, I just remember, do you guys, we're talking about beautiful people and stuff. Did either one of you get to watch Westworld at all? The new,
oh my God, it's been
the new series,
show.
Really?
Isn't that something?
I have not seen it yet.
It's on HBO.
And I have my dear friend Reggie Davis is in the pilot, and I still haven't seen it.
It's an amazing show because you don't know really what's going on, and yet it's like it's a whole new thing, you know. And it is J.J. Abrams, right?
Yeah,
So it does have the feeling of Lost, like you never really know what's going on, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's with robots
like
and stuff. Yeah,
it is incredible too. I mean, like,
it's
again,
a theme park.
Every single episode, you're like, he said, has something crazy behind it, where you learn like this new level of something unreal.
That's true.
And you have no idea which way it's going to go. So,
that's true.
Yeah,
but essentially, it's a theme park that's like in the West, in the Wild West.
Mm-hmm.
And people get to go in, and all the characters are actually robots, but they look like real people.
Mm.
And then there's a lot of like ethical questions and things like that, you know. So that's what the show's about, really. So it's really cool, and it keeps evolving, so you don't know what's going to happen. Is this, you know. But at any rate, so we were talking about beautiful people because everybody there's beautiful on that show.
Yeah, it's like a Stanford feeling.
Oh, right.
So,
they should do a Westworld LA. I mean, because that's kind of what this is.
Yeah,
like, wait,
that's
what?
So true.
What did
it's
I just walk?
So
what did
true.
I just walk into? Is this real?
I know. There are no rules out here when you're not from here.
Whoa. So good. So you started doing the work and everything. Mm-hmm. You started getting roles. So it is important to know people, right? I mean, you need to have some contacts to get in the door. Would you say?
Yes. I mean, yes and no. I mean, I came, I didn't know. I mean, I established
people. You said you
people.
Met through these
yes,
people,
yes.
right?
Yes, and they were very instrumental in just kind of guiding me early on in my career. But knowing people helps, but doing the work is more important.
You got to show up.
Yeah. I mean, they're establishing relationships for sure. I did a tweet the other day and I was like, networking is not a dirty word.
Uh-huh.
Networking is relationship building. Like, really, are you building relationships where people believe in your work, believe in your talent, and can say, you know what, I can put her on set with this said celebrity and she's not going to embarrass me. You know, I trust that she's going to do the job, do it well, and people will like her and her work.
Right.
You know? And it's just building those relationships. So certainly I've built relationships where people hopefully would like to work with me again. And the movie that we're about to talk about came about because of a producer who had worked with me repeatedly and wanted to work with me again, knew I could get the job done.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's very cool.
So
for those of you who don't know, Meredith Thomas is in the movie. It's an upcoming movie, right?
It's aired a couple of times already.
Really?
But our premiere time slot, best time slot, is Christmas Eve at 7 p.m. on ION, so 6 Central.
The movie is called The Christmas in Vermont.
Yes.
So it was filmed in Vermont.
Parts, but most of the movie were actually filmed in Buffalo, New York.
Really?
And which is straight. I mean, well, it's interesting because I'm from New Hampshire, so I'm a New England girl.
Right.
But I've lived in LA for many, many years, and I went and shot it in Buffalo, and because Buffalo has been providing some great opportunities for filmmakers. And they found that they could make it look like New York City as well as Vermont. Of course, one of the reasons they shot there during that time was for the snow. And of course, there was no snow, in March. They didn't get any of the snow. So they had to cheat some of that stuff and change a little bit of when the lead character was supposed to be falling into a snow bank. She wasn't falling into a snowbank because there was no snow in Buffalo at that particular time. I watched the people, the producers and director from the movie working on another film right now, and they just had huge blizzards. I was like, where was that when we were pretending to be in Vermont, you know, last year?
Wow. Now, this sounds like extremely exciting because, I mean, you're starring alongside Chevy Chase, Howard Hessman, Morgan Fairchild, and Abigail Hawk. I mean, surrounded by geniuses, really.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
So, yeah, that was, I've said this before, like sometimes in this town you have the highest hopes and you think, oh my goodness, this is going to be, you know, a great film, and for whatever reason a scene doesn't make it into a movie, or you don't make it into the movie, or, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out the way you hope. There's so many factors, and especially with me, with sometimes independent films, you know, budgets change, and the scene I auditioned with didn't end up in the film, and that's always disappointing. But this one this experience was like the opposite. Like every step of the way, it just kept getting better and better. And wait, what now, Chevy? What, you know? So it was just one of those wonderful, unexpected experiences. When I signed on to do the film, Howard Hessman was already on, and Abigail Hawk, who is one of the series regulars from Blue Bloods on CBS, and so she was already on. So Howard, but Chevy wasn't on yet. Morgan was added long after I was done shooting. So it was, it just kept getting better. There was this moment where I was like, wait, so you're asking if I will stay in New York so that I can work with Chevy Chase?
Let me think about that one.
Yes. No. Okay.
Absolutely. Sure.
So it was just kept getting better, and it was just a time surreal. So we did shoot. I did come back and shoot a couple of days here. And there was a moment when I was talking to the director, and his name is Fred Olin Ray, very busy director, and Chevy Chase. And Chevy, the director, was telling a story about being in Buffalo area and scouting Niagara Falls, but he had left L.A. and he'd landed in Buffalo, and the difference in temperatures, he didn't have the right coat. So he was just like, come on, get me to the hotel. He's not appreciating Niagara Falls.
Yeah, right?
And as he's telling the story, I'm standing there next to Chevy Chase, and I'm thinking, in my mind, and I didn't want to say anything, I'm like, that's exactly the scene from National Lampoon's Vacation when Chevy's just robbed someone and they're standing at the Grand Canyon and he's like, let's go. Like, and I'm like, oh my God, that's the scene. The director is describing his own experience of that scene and no one's saying anything and I'm too shy to go, that's Vacation. And then Chevy said it and I was like, thank God you said it, not me, because I'm the weird fangirl if I go, that's Vacation and I'm standing here next to Chevy Chase and you're telling that story, but Chevy said it. I was like, that's exactly what I was thinking. Oh my goodness. Like, I grew up on that movie.
I think you would have loved it if you said something, you know?
Well, I did after the fact, because he goes, that, because Chevy goes, that reminds me of my scene at, right, at the Grand Canyon, and I was like, yes.
That's funny.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Well, this is cool. So you got some scenes with Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what part do you have in the film? What is your character about?
My character's name is Dana, and she's a business associate of the lead gal, of the character played by Abigail, and of Chevy. So she is, and she works in investments with these two characters. So she's kind of the liaison to help. I say Dana creates the Christmas miracle, but you know, I'm a little partial to my character. No, she basically, Abigail's character is sent to Vermont to close down a struggling company, much like, you know, L.L. Bean in Maine or something, right. Just kind of this idyllic Vermont country company, and she's sent there by Chevy to shut it down, and of course she falls in love with the company. I'm not giving away too much, I'm sure. But falls in love and doesn't want to close it down, and Dana, who's introduced at the beginning and then towards the end, actually helps her to try to save the company.
Wow.
Nice. With the best possible way, with money. Yeah. I'm an investor. So
this is obviously comedy, right? I mean, if Chevy Chase is in it,
no? It became, I would say it would be fair to say became a romantic comedy.
Romantic comedy.
It definitely became funnier once Chevy got on
really?
Set.
Wow.
And he added stuff that was not in the original script, with just basically his improv and
really, yeah. So he does that.
Yeah,
right?
Oh yeah. Right. And you don't want to tell Chevy not to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Chevy
like,
Chase,
give us
say
whatever
what
you got.
Genius.
You know?
Yeah, I was trying to do the same thing for like people like Will Ferrell and some people who are off the cuff like that. It's you get that those hilarious lines that you'll never, you know, like the Zach Galifianakis moments. You know what I mean?
I do.
Oh
I
yeah,
do.
He added like, when you watch it, Christmas Eve, 7 p.m. on IOM. Chevy added some funny like milkshake. He just threw it out there, and it became a running theme with Chevy about give me a milkshake. And so definitely he brought his own flavor to flavor milkshake to the film.
Right. So how long was the shooting for you?
I was in Buffalo about a week and a half to 2 weeks. I wasn't shooting all those days, and then I came back and shot a couple of days here in LA. And that's when we ended up shooting around Chevy. We ended up working with Chevy here in LA, so we cheated it a little bit.
I see. And this was shot when, in March of this year?
Yeah, I believe it was March. Uh huh.
Oh wow, how cool is that? You see, when you're an actress, you get to go to different locales, right? You get
it's
to be with great
parts.
People.
Right.
Yeah, you get to do a lot of great things, you know. So did you have any love scenes or anything in the movie?
No, not in this movie. It's funny, though. They said, you know, we wrote you into the final scene. Once Chevy was added, they decided that my character should be in the final scene in the movie. And that's when they said, will you stay and be, you know. I was like, yes, I will work with Chevy. But they were like, you'll be Chevy's date, but not romantic, you know, just his business date. So I technically was Chevy's date in the final scene, but no, Dana, no mention of Dana's love life, and that's fine. She's all business.
That's awesome. So tell us, what are some of the other parts you've done? I mean, you know, obviously since you came here and between then and this movie now, you've done a lot. Tell us some of the things you've done. What are you really proud of that you've done?
You know, I always say, I'm really proud. Let's go. I'm really proud of a lot of my independent films. Because I find there's a, you can tell a different story when you don't have the restraints of money or people telling you how to tell it. And so some of my, I did an amazing independent film called Camp, and it raised over $60,000 to help children in the foster care system. Wow. And that film was, it was based on real events of children's stories who have an opportunity through these church groups to go to spend a week or two at a camp and just be kids, not be foster kids, to be kids, to have one-on-one attention from counselors and have a real childlike experience. And many of these children have just not very pleasant lives.
Yeah,
and to go and just swim and party and have tea parties and be in the woods. And that was one of my proudest films that I worked on.
That's very cool. Can we see that?
Absolutely. You can all over the place. Well, Camp has been out for, so you can see it all over the place on Amazon, and you can get the DVD or, you know, buy it on Amazon Prime or any of that good stuff.
So. What's it called again?
It's called Camp.
Camp.
And I played the camp psychologist to these kids. Mm-hmm. And that, I got to go on location up to this beautiful lake. Mm-hmm. In Northern California. So, yeah, I've been really lucky to. So that's one of my favorites. Another one of my favorite movies is a dark comedy about politics.
Uh-huh.
And it ran during the last presidential election, during
Obama and Romney.
So it was out here during that, and it was just a satire of the political system, which I think is even more timely 4 years later.
Right.
And it's nonpartisan. it tries very hard to be nonpartisan, but it's just a satire of, like, kind of the zoo and the circus.
Yeah.
Politics.
That's awesome. So you get into a lot of different things.
I should say, it's called Democracy at Work. I forgot to mention the title.
Democracy at Work.
Yes, and you can see that all over the place, Amazon, iTunes as well. It's
great.
A feature.
You know, and you guys get to see Meredith, of course.
As Dana.
But as Dana in the Christmas in Vermont. And tell us again for the millionth time.
Yes.
It's going to be on Christmas Eve on ION TV at 7 p.m. Pacific.
Eastern and Pacific. 7
oh,
p.m. Eastern
too.
And Pacific, and okay. And 6 o'clock Central.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Finally, now, do you want to talk about this? You mentioned something about matchmaking when we were talking before, right?
Yeah.
How did you dabble in that at all?
I started doing that because I started hosting speed dating events.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do those. Have you ever tried that, Leah?
No,
do you know
you
what
know
those
me.
Are?
I don't do that kind of stuff. Yeah. You know
it's,
me.
I think it's, to any of the actors or artists listening out there, if you have an opportunity to do it, it's a wonderful character study.
Really?
It's a wonderful way to really...
It's like
see people.
It's like Tinder on steroids, because you get to meet people quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
But one after another. You know, you
Tinder
get to swipe right,
yeah, you
know swipe
Tinder.
Right, swipe
like,
left.
No, Tinder, yeah. Tinder, Tinder, Grindr. What? It scares me. Okay, no, it scares
horrific.
Me. Yeah, I don't. Horrific. I don't. I'm. I don't need to swipe. I don't need to be swiped. Thank you very much. no, it scares me. The second, like, it's too, like, everything's too out there.
That is true. But so let me ask you quickly though. But the speed dating part. Was it ever successful for you? Did you ever meet anybody interesting?
Because
you've probably been through a lot of those.
I used to. This is terrible, but I used to say, you know, as the host, I got the pick of the litter. Like I was like,
right,
yeah.
There you go.
And it was my job to be charming and entertaining, and so I was like, I always got to. And if there was less women, then the men got stuck talking to me for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Poor me. So actually, my ex-boyfriend of 3.5 years.
You meant like that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How
well,
cool
he will say that he came out to meet me only because he saw me. So that's a little
That's cheating.
Yeah, it was cheating. And at the time, I was in a relationship with someone else. And so he came back 5 years later and tried again.
No.
Timing is everything.
Wow, wow.
Gosh.
Oh, well. I meant, by the way, cheating on the rules of the game, not cheating like cheating on somebody, you know?
Oh, yes, of course.
It's like he's sort of like he knew in advance who he wanted. So, yeah. You know, it's not like when you go to the speed dating, you don't know who you're going to meet.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was very clear that he wanted the host. And
yeah. Awesome. Well, Meredith, tell people where they can find you if they want to follow you, find out more about what it is that you do, that you're doing today.
Absolutely. So on Twitter, I'm at Meredith Actress, and on Instagram, I'm at Meredith Method. Back to my matchmaking days, the Meredith Method was my my matchmaking book. That
You should go back to that. You know, I wish we had more time to talk about it. That sounds interesting. But quickly, we got to wrap up because there's another show coming right after us. So go ahead.
So yeah, and then you can find me on my Facebook, just Meredith Thomas. You'll find me there if you look for my actor page. But yeah, Meredith at Meredith Method on Instagram and at Meredith Actress on Twitter.
Sounds great. Meredith Thomas, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You're amazing. Leah, thank you as always.
Thanks for having me, Samsky.
Of course. Always fun. Everybody have a great day and just stay tuned. I don't know if tomorrow I'm going to be on or whatever, but we'll have great replays for you if not. But please stay tuned every morning at 10. We love having you folks. If I don't talk to you before that, have a great holiday.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Yeah. Merry Christmas, everything. Hanukkah, too, on Saturday. So if you guys know anybody Jewish, you should connect with them that night. It's pretty pretty to see.
Oh, wow. So Hanukkah is... it's Hanukkah and Christmas Eve.
Yes.
Fall on the same...
Exactly. Well, Hanukkah starts Saturday night.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. But wait a minute. So Christmas is Sunday too, right?
Yeah, it's Sunday
this
year.
Yeah, wait a minute. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. How cool is that? I didn't even realize that. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. We'll see you soon.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.